meet with Chief Justice Wallace B. Carson Jr. at the Oregon Supreme Court in Salem. And this the interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is 10/24/96, and this is tape 29, side one. Well, we've switched from the conference room to your office here in the corner upstairs, third floor corner, looking out at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And looking around at your office, it's very well lived in.
Yes, that's a nice way to say it.
You had a number of things that that you wanted to mention to me about.
Well, I mentioned them to you. Obviously, I'm a collector of
I can see
memorabilia, and some of it, like the clock. Well, the safe is my grandfather's safe. It came around the horn. Probably early 90s, 1890s, J.A. Carson is my grandfather, and it was in the office while he practiced, and my three uncles, and then me, and when the firm ended, when my father died, my uncle retired, and I became a judge, and so I moved that up to the courthouse, then I moved it up here, and long story about that, but it's...
It must have been difficult moving that up here.
It was. Weighs 2,000 pounds, and the elevator can hold 2,000 pounds. And I had to go through the Department of General Services, and I have the boilerplate underneath there, and it has to be in one of these beamed corners or columned corners. And but it's a wonderful old safe, and my one uncle, John, had been a DA, and there's an inside safe with a combination, and the firm had lost that many, many years ago, in the 20s, I think, and so they had informed all the secretaries not to lock the interior safe, and somebody did. So my uncle arranged to have, as the story goes, two safe crackers come from the joint out here, the 2605 during state penitentiary, and they spent a day, I suspect, because I used to watch the old Bogart and other movies, sandpapering their fingers and trying to do it. Undo it, and they couldn't, so they eventually torched it off, was another way of safe cracking. So the interior safe doesn't have a door anymore, but it's interesting. And then the calendar over there is a 1926 calendar that was in the firm, and it's been used, I guess, for the last 70 years. And then the clock is somewhere in that age, and this desk was my father's, and that book turnstile was each of the brothers. My father and two uncles had one of those, and I got that from my father. Chairs came out of the waiting room. And that's kind of mission style furniture that's coming back, which kind of pleases me. And then the file cabinet over there is my father's as well. The plaques just represent things I've collected over the last 50 years.
They must be significant to you, or you wouldn't have them there?
In part, I'm, I just keep that kind of stuff. On that particular wall is, Nellie Johnson gave me, it's a magazine cover, it says Judge, and she gave that to me, and I'm very fond of her, and it was out of some magazine 40 years ago. She got it, I think, at some garage sale or auction.
Who was Nellie Johnson?
She's a circuit court judge in Multnomah County,
uh-huh.
A longtime friend.
And
then the other awards are outstanding young man of one of the outstanding young men in 1968, the Junior Chamber of Commerce, and my degree from Stanford, my degree from Willamette. An award for being a trustee for 20 years, an award for contributing to the Boy Scouts, Rudyard Kipling's If, which my father always had on his wall, and then contributions to the YMCA, Century Club, and then for a while Willamette had this kind of, that somebody gave Willamette that, it's a picture of a neon sign that was built, and so they did a college law, and I found that to be attractive, so they gave me a copy of that. And the senator sign is from when I was a senator, and attached to my license plate, I never had the nerve to do that, but that's what it was for. And Judge Carson's the sign I had out of my door on when I was in trial court in Marion County. House Majority Leader is what, because when I, in 1969, I was one of two who had offices. The Speaker had an office, and the Majority Leader had an office. Actually, the Minority Leader had one, too. The picture down there is a picture that was taken in 1977 when there were five Republicans in the Senate, and I used to joke that there's some advantages. Pacific Northwest Bell gave us a caucus room that had the advantage every time we shut the door, the light went on and the fan started. So some photographer from Klamath Falls said, would you guys pose in a phone booth? So those, that's the two phone booths in the Senate chamber, and we're crowded in. Tony Meeker, who was a senator for a long time, and then State Treasurer Vic Attia, who was
Yes.
Governor Ken Jernsted, and
Bob Smith, George Wingard.
You got them all. You know them all.
Well, I've interviewed almost all of them.
Oh, well, good.
I've seen this picture before, and I've heard a lot about it in reference to the few Republicans there were at the time.
Right.
And, of course, Vic Attia and George Wingard and Bob Smith and yourself and Ken Jernsted interviewed. So.
Oh, well, you're part of the family then. Yeah.
Doubt if I could have gotten into the... into the phone booth, though.
That's right. No, we were pretty well cramped. But then the, haven't got it up on the wall yet. It's only been 5 years. But the rubber chicken I was awarded by some members of the Guard Association when I was in the National Guard, because I was always whining about rubber chicken and wrinkled peas. One of the things I now detest pretty much is chicken, because I've spoken to so many luncheons and dinners where they have cold chicken and wrinkled peas. And so they gave me an award. And then one of the surprising, very dear to me plaques I got, it was from the Drum Major Award, both presented by the Scanner Foundation. Both Ed Peterson and I were awarded that last year mm-hmm. for the work on the task force. Mm-hmm. And it was awarded up in Portland. And then this is just a plaque notifying that I got what's called a Minuteman Award from the Enlisted Corps mm-hmm. of the Air Guard, mm-hmm. which was a very appreciated award upon my retirement or after my retirement. And then mm-hmm. a gavel that you get, I think it came from Jason Bowe when he was President of the Senate.
I see an old Bible next to it.
Yes, that's the Bible I got upon confirmation on March 16, 1943.
Boy.
And signed by my mom and my dad, and I use it for marriage ceremonies. I don't do a uh-huh. religious ceremony, but I take my Bible. And uh-huh. as a matter of fact, I used it. I spoke at the prayer breakfast at the bar last month, and I used for the theme of my speech, Thy Kingdom Come, which is Bishop Dagwell, Benjamin Dagwell, who was the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Western Oregon. Every confirmation class, every year, he'd give a phrase from Scripture. And so you would, when you were to greet him, you were to say whatever your scripture phrase was, and mine was, Thy Kingdom Come. Hmm. And so I built my comments around Matthew, from which that comes, which is probably the most significant, I think, the most significant chapter. It's got the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and all this sort of stuff in it. And it's very uplifting. It's a good piece. So I refer to that from time to time. And the magnifying glasses, as I get older, I need that more. And then there's just some awards on the other wall. One is, we talked about domestic violence, and the state police were nice enough to award me a plaque commemorating my efforts in cooperation with them on domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
And I spoke to a Rotary Club, the Regional Conference of Rotarians Northwest, Eugene a year or two ago, spoke to the Marine unit in Eugene at their annual dinner, and then the Marion County Bar gave me a plaque. Many of my friends wondered why they were doing it. They thought I was either going to retire or was terminally ill, and it was neither. They just decided to be nice to me. And then over here, all my admissions Supreme Court of the United States and admissions Supreme Court of the State of Oregon, Ninth Circuit, and U.S. District Court in Oregon, American Judicature Society, Oregon State Bar, American Bar Association, and then Gordon Smith and Bev Clarno and I were flown over to speak to the chiefs of police 18 months ago in Baker City, and for going over, they gave us the nice Chief of Police Association plaque. Mm-hmm. And then when I retire, the next one is when the Russians, long before Russia collapsed, the Soviets came over our F-15s that look a lot like their 27s, SU-27s. We escorted them from the border down to Texas, where they were going down to a show, and then the patches are from the various units that we had in the Guard. And then the shadow box is my various ranks and my military awards. And one above it is Bill Phillips is a wonderful aircraft painter from Ashland, who does wonderful scenes, and you can identify that as Crown Point looking up to Columbia, and two F-15s from the Oregon Air National Guard stationed in Portland. And then over on the left of it is my certificate of aeronautical rating when I was passed pilot training, became a fighter pilot, and got my wings, and next to that's my commission. And then on the left is a picture of a museum piece they have out the military department, which commemorates my retirement. And then the other one is one I built, kind of a shadow box with the rank, and I've actually worn all those ranks, starting as second lieutenant, and I'm rated as a pilot, and also as a ground control interceptor, and also as a JAG officer, and second, first, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, colonel, and BG. And that picture I took in our graduating class at Laredo, we were A flight, and we did the flyover for the graduation, 13 of us, and I was at the lower end, and I popped up, and I was the bottom of the A on the right-hand side, and I popped up and took mm-hmm. that picture in a slow turn over desolate Texas. A photocopy from the Congressional Record that Bob Packwood got in the record when I retired from the Guard, and then just other awards, and then the wonderful statuary is the other part of the Minuteman Award that I received from the enlisted force of the Guard, which they give to selected retirees, and I was fortunate enough. And then one of my dear trophies is the one is the Chief Sergeant shoulder patch, rank patch for the Air Force, and the Chief's organization made me an honorary chief upon my retirement. That holds a dear place in my list of stuff.
I notice also that, let's see, there's this assistant adjutant general.
Yeah, my declining years, I was first senior JAG officer, and then also deputy commander of the Oregon Air Guard, and then when the commander was forced to leave, I became commander. Probably the first time anybody had a command of a 2,000 person unit as an additional duty. For about 5 months, I was commander of the Oregon Air Guard.
Oh, boy.
And then I became assistant adjutant general for a few years.
And these are your family members down here?
Well, yes, there are two of them. And one on the right is my wife, and then the next one over is my son-in-law and daughter, and then our deceased son, and that's an elephant that he made for me when he was in grade school.
Uh-huh.
And
what is it made out of?
A clay.
Clay?
Or maybe plaster. Uh-huh. I think it's clay. And then the rest of the stuff, just awards that are very important to me.
So you have some model planes up there?
Yes, the T-33 I built. I flew T-33s, and then I had a guy up at Saturday Market who was very talented in wire, did a wire T-33, and then the F-15, Governor Tia had it, and he had a better one, or didn't want it, and he gave it to me because he knew I'd flown the F-15. And then before I became assistant adjutant general, that was my other nameplate, and then the TM-60, which is the old Matador missile. When I was assigned to Korea, the Kumoi Matsu fight heated uh-huh. up, so the Air Force sent me down to Kumoi Matsu because my specialty was aircraft guidance with a data link missile radar system, the same system to control the mm-hmm. Matador, so we went down. They trained us how to run missiles, and we trained them how to run aircraft. And them being the, what is it, 56th Tactical Missile Squadron out of Florida. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are my grandchildren over there, and an award I got from the Willamette Third World Association, College of Law. Then when I left Legislative Council, when I left the legislature, Legislative Council, at the top of a cigar box says Judge Best. Very important part, because I work closely with the lawyers in Legislative Council. They got that, framed it, and they all signed it on the back.
Ah.
And also for history reasons, I'll share with you, I'm only holding on to it temporarily. When we did a little remodeling in our other office, the carpenter took that off, and it was took off a piece of wood that had some coat hooks on it, and that card fell out, and it's from McNary, who was, Charles was first a commissioner and then appointed, and then later lost in one of the greatest recounts. I think there were three or four recounts, ultimately lost, I think, by one vote for to a guy by the name of Benson from Klamath Falls, and but then went on 2 years later and became U.S. Senator, and was U.S. Senator until he died. As I think I've shared with you, rode in the Wilkie McNary float in 1940. He was vice president candidate with Wendell Wilkie. And so that's how they used to campaign, with those little business cards. And he obviously, as you can see, signed it.
Yeah.
And he says, occupied this room, dated 1914, February 21st, and then signed his name and then put it away, and it smeared the ink, so it was fresh, and he just dropped it behind there. But the carpenter was sufficiently in tune to history that he said that might be worth keeping. So
he must have known that it was going to be sealed behind the wall.
No, he had no idea. He uh-huh. just pulled off that big board and out fluttered this card. And
McNary.
He probably did. Yeah. So realizing it's some time capsule effect.
Right.
Come about, and so it did. Huh. So that's a quick tour, and also over there is my election campaign
uh-huh.
matter that hung out over my campaign headquarters in 1994. And,
well, it's there's a lot here. I mean, it must be.
It's probably 105 years of history connected to me and others, and.
Now, has the Chief Justice always occupied this room, or most usually?
Well, most usually. When Bud stepped down, he stayed here, which was fine with Peterson, and he stepped down in 81 and retired in 88, so he spent seven more years here. Peterson stayed here until September, and then I was willing to stay where I was because I was in the larger room diagonally across the building. But he wanted to get out of here, and so we moved.
Yeah.
And when I step down, I will probably move too. I don't relish taking all these plaques down. That the one over there is a copy of was a lithograph of musk oxes, which are indigenous to Alaska, and that's how my daughter got it. But I used to refer to the Ways and Means Committee as musk oxes, and when I was in the legislature, and that's why she spotted it, because that's what they do, is they put their, circle the wagons, if you will, they put their young in the middle, and then all back their rear ends up, mm-hmm. so their big horns are sticking out toward the enemy mm-hmm. in 360 degrees, and that's mm-hmm. their formation. And I likened the Ways and Means Committee, when they were under attack, of being nothing but a bunch of musk oxes, which some immediately knew the significance of it, and many had no idea. But my daughter saw that and thought of me, and so got it for me.
Well, I imagine the most difficult thing in your move is going to be getting that safe out of the office.
Yes, I don't know
the office.
What I'm going to do with that, although there's a local moving company that makes it very easy. I used to move it around occasionally, you know, twice in our office, law office, and it's 2,000 pounds.
Gee.
And its wheels don't move hard. It has wheels, but they don't move. But they have a look like big, sturdy bicycle tires, four of them, and they have big jacks. They wheel them and put them on each of the four corners and pump them up, gets it off, and they can just push it anywhere. And they put down plywood so that they don't break any of the, so they distribute the weight. They just moved that thing around like it weighed 100 pounds. It was amazing. And I struggled with that with trailer jacks. We moved it one time. Huh. And I mean, house trailer jacks, those great big Hummers. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think my wife wants that in our garage, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
Well, and just a few more things here. I was wondering how your what civic involvements you still have now. I know that over time you've been involved with the Salem Art Association and the Oregon Historical Society and Marion County Historical Society and Oregon Courts Historical Society, the Air Force Association, Lima University, Oregon YMCA. Are you still involved with those organizations now?
Oh, yes. My participation in most of them is only by membership and participating in their functions. Occasionally, I'm asked to speak to one or more of those groups for their annual meeting or for some occasion. And the two that I'm heavily involved in is the YMCA Youth Legislature Program, which I am coming up next February will be our 50th anniversary of the program. And I did my first one, it will be 44 years ago, representing Salem High with others. And so I spend not a lot of time, but a significant amount of time on that. And then Willamette, I spend quite a bit of time. I'm on the Board of Trustees and have been so since 1970. And I'm on the Law Committee and chair of the Law Committee. So I spend quite a bit of time with Willamette itself and also the College of Law. But that's the rest of the matters. Primarily reading their materials and paying my dues and enjoying what I can of their various programs.
And the Oregon YMTA, the Youth and Government Program that you've been involved with since 1981, isn't that right?
Well, actually, as I said, I was an attendee in 1951.
1951.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
But I've been on the program board since 1981 and been co-chair for about the last 10 years or so.
And in terms of your own personal life, how has raising a family been while being in public office? Does that present certain problems of its own?
Oh, sure. People say some unkind things. It was very difficult when I was in the legislature. A certain number of the teachers were involved in teacher labor organizations that saw the world a little differently than I did and would take it out on the kids. And I know in one time my son's home room, the only place I saw my opponent's bumper sticker was in my son's home room, and the teacher had put them all up around the room. Yeah, nice kind of guy.
Gee.
And in fact, it got so bad that the running down of Republicans generally, that Vic and I went out and asked for a meeting with the faculty and said, okay, we're here. Vic's secretary's children were also at the junior high school at the time, and so we said, we're here. If you've got a fight, pick it with us, lay off our kids. Everybody just said, no problem. So we fortunately didn't have a lot of that, and that was one of the few times that I was really embarrassed to be a member of the human race and to be a graduate of 24J. But by and large, they've had some real benefits. They've gotten to ride in parades, which two of our children really enjoyed, one did not. Got to go to things that many kids probably wouldn't have the opportunity to go to, and hang out the legislature. They'd get in trouble. They'd slide down the marble runners to the side, and they'd be told stop. And I think I mentioned to you before that when I was in the House, when I was majority leader, I was doing something, and my wife came in with our youngest son, and he saw me, and he yelled out, "Hi, Dad!" Just reverberated through that solemn chamber, and they were both thrown out by the sergeant at arms. Embarrassed my wife. My son thought it was kind of nifty to be escorted out of the gallery. But so there were, other than the time problem, there were probably a lot more benefits to the family. And also, as young lawyers, I didn't have kind of money to do much traveling, but as a legislator and as a recruiter for Republican candidates, we would travel around and I would proselytize, so we got to go to parts of the state that we probably otherwise wouldn't go to, and there were legislative meetings and Republican meetings we'd go to, and we'd always take the kids. And so it was, I know our daughters reflect upon it, she enjoyed it. She was quite young. She was, I suppose, let's see, she would have been, about 9, I think, my first session, and then I was in for 11 years, so she was 9 to 20 while we were in campaigning and serving and that sort of stuff, and had a lot more opportunity to work with kids. Being a judge is kind of dull. Our youngest son used to come up and visit me every now and then in the courtroom, sit, and then ride home with me or something, and he liked that. He thought that was pretty keen. But it's pretty dull for a youngster to watch what Dad did.
You had just referred to travels. Have you had travels? Have they been a significant part of your life? Or
no, not really. No, I've the Air Force allowed me to see all of Texas that I want to see, and a good part of Florida that I care to see, and then Korea, which was after the war, but all of that I want to see. And as I said, Japan and Taiwan. And then the legislature, I got to see. We had some good trips out of state, mostly in state, which I enjoy. And then being Chief Justice, as I've said several times, I've taken the opportunity to go around and visit all our courthouses, and I've been to every courthouse in the state. Visit with our employees and the county commissioners and DAs when they're available, and lawyers if they're available, and the press if they're interested. And most of that is by myself or with a state court administrator or sometimes with a family.
What about writings? Are you occupied in writings in any way?
No.
Other than your judicial writings?
No. Every now and then I will succumb and agree to write an article for a publication or for a law journal. And I always rue the fact I obligated myself to do it as it gets closer, because I have to take time, and it's usually weekends and evenings in addition to what else I do. So I don't do much of that. I'm not asked. It's not that I decline a lot of scholarly endeavors. I'm just not asked to do it. But on the other hand, I don't write and then go shop and see if I can peddle it anywhere either. So I'm struggling at making an outline for a foreword for a law journal on domestic violence that'll be published next fall at Willamette College of Law. And it'll be short, but I'll try to do right by it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would like to. I like to write and I like to research, but I just can't devote any more time to something taxpayers don't pay me to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the out years I will do it.
You've shown me a number of awards, and there was one I had mentioned here, written down here, that you hadn't mentioned that I was aware of, which is the President's Award, 1981 and 1988.
Those are probably National Guard awards.
The National Guard?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure what that referred to.
Yeah. And I also, somewhere around here is my Father of Acupuncture Award. Take the mic off a minute, see if I can find it. It's
it was an acupuncture award?
Yeah, I, along with Keith Burbage and Ted Halley, got acupuncture legalized in Oregon.
Well, it's here somewhere, but it escapes me.
Certificate.
But you were the principal person involved in getting acupuncture legalized.
Well, I shared it with the organization, that group of acupuncturists singled me out, but in fairness, I think Ted Halleck and